Welcome back. Michael Warren Thomas here. It's The Grapevine at SaverLife.com. And later today, I'm going to be doing an interview with Cody Taylor from WENY, Elmira, Ithaca. And it's going to be about tourism in the Finger Lakes and how it relates to a power plant on Seneca Lake, which is looking to expand Bitcoin mining operations. And Bitcoin is still just a tough concept to get my head around. It's sort of ironic that there's other mining going on in Seneca Lake, the salt mines, and on Cayuga Lake. But this actually doesn't involve any digging. This is incredibly power-intensive, quote-unquote, mining. Using mathematical algorithms to mine coins, essentially, it's just the cryptocurrencies are a bit of a mystery. I should spend a few hours and really try to figure them out. But there's a lot of money to be made in Bitcoin. It just doubled in price in the last, I don't know, couple of weeks. It's up something like 80% in 2021, which is just a month and a half old. And it's a hot trend these days. The reason that they're mining Bitcoin, again, quote unquote mining it, on Seneca Lake is because of a power station, which was largely mothballed. And as I understood it, was going to be used to provide sort of peak power. It was converted, I think, from coal to gas, and then the Bitcoin mining operation was developed there because it was basically an unused power plant, and it was right next to a massive source of fresh water, which with with all the servers and electronic gear that's running to mine these bitcoins, you need a tremendous amount of water for cooling. And so they're right on Seneca Lake, which looks like a virtually unlimited supply of fresh water. So what could go wrong? What's the problem with this? Well, for one, it really doesn't do anything to benefit the region. It's in the town of Dresden. So Dresden gets probably a lot of tax dollars from them. So, you know, there is one town that will, and probably already is, benefiting significantly from having this operation in their town. Just happens to be there. It's a huge plant. You've driven by it if you've gone down Route 14 and you go by Fox Run and Anthony Road, and then you come down, you cross Route 54, which goes over to Penyan, and you know, you're right about that point. Go by this power plant, and you know, the wine region of the Finger Lakes is, well, say, you know, 20, 30 years ago was, you know, a curiosity. It was, there were some really good wineries here 20, 30 years ago, not very many. And it wasn't a big economic driver really within New York State. Certainly the grape growing industry was a big economic driver for the Finger Lakes. But for the state, in general, it wasn't that big a deal. It was agriculture, growing grapes, and so most of the wine made by Taylor, what is now Constellation Brands. Although they sold all their New York operations recently. So anyway, it was big winery operations using pretty cheap grapes, making pretty cheap wine in general. And so we have these landfills, we have these other industrial operations, salt mining. Well, salt mining has been around for 100 years. The landfill is much newer. But we have these sort of competing visions of the Finger Lakes. Is it a beautiful wine region which has all kinds of opportunities for outdoor recreation, fishing and swimming and boating, the Finger Lakes National Forest, the Montezuma National Wildlife Refuge. There's the hundreds of waterfalls. It's a stunning region. Or are we a place to dump the trash from New York City because it's cheap, where you can mine bitcoins because the water's cheap? Those are two visions of this region, which don't go together. In spite of the fact that, you know, the landfill in Seneca Falls, the largest one in New York State by far, claims that they don't hurt tourism. I mean, they can claim anything they want. It's kind of obvious that a landfill that size, right next to the gateway for anyone coming from the east to come to the Finger Lakes, is not going to help tourism, and certainly, you can't keep the smell of the landfill gas out of your car as you drive by it, even as you drive on the thruway and you're a couple miles away from that landfill. So, you know, these operations make lots of claims about how they don't affect tourism, but it's kind of obvious that they do. And they will in the future, as this region continues to grow. And, you know, a Bitcoin mining operation, again, as little as I know about it, they may pay a lot of tax dollars to Dresden, but they don't employ a lot of people. This is not a big employer. I mean, it takes people to maintain a facility this big, but this is not a crucial employer for our region, nor is the landfill, which has, I don't know, 160 employees or something. These are billion-dollar industrial operations, which bring no benefits. Really, in terms of building the future of the region, and there's a trash incinerator proposed for Romulus that also wanted the fresh water, and luckily that got turned down, and actually all kinds of fairly crazy stories about that, but that's over. We don't have to continue fighting that. But there are these ongoing series of industrial operations looking to expand or start in the Finger Lakes. And if we have a vision of the Finger Lakes as the Napa of the East Coast, except we have beautiful lakes down the middle of our valleys. They have Route 29 and a railroad in Napa Valley. We have some incredible beauty here, and a big power plant that's looking to expand doesn't fit that vision. So right now, it's Seneca Lake Guardian is hoping to organize people to try and convince Governor Cuomo not to let this happen, not to let them expand. And the next few months are going to be kind of critical in that. Of course, it's hard to get anyone's attention during a pandemic, so this is a particularly difficult time to try to lobby Albany and try to keep this kind of thing from happening. And it kind of ironically, timing-wise, back when we were fighting gas storage on Seneca Lake, which was down near Watkins Glen, It's funny how so many of these operations revolve around Seneca Lake. I mean, the Finger Lakes has 11 lakes, and Seneca Lake is the biggest, and it seems to be the focus of so many of these industrial operations. Some old, some new, but the gas storage expansion that a Texas company was looking to do in Watkins Glen, really coalesced people in the region well beyond Seneca Lake to come together and try to defend a different vision of the region, a non fossil fuel industry, large scale industries that again really bring no benefit to the future of a wine region. And so the Seneca Lake Guardian grew out of Gas Free Seneca, and it is it was crucial and it was essential to have that organization already in place to defeat the trash incinerator that was proposed for Romulus. And this greenage facility is going to be hard to stop. And if you want details, you want to get involved in helping to keep our wine region as beautiful it is and to protect the water of Seneca Lake, check out Seneca Lake Guardian and consider participating or donating to help this. One of the big issues with this power plant on Seneca Lake, two things. One, the intakes that they have for water, and they use a lot of water, do not prevent fish from going in. And so a lot of fish are killed because of the water used at the greenage generation plant. And perhaps even more importantly, they release a lot of very warm water back into Seneca Lake, because that is the whole point of using the water, is to cool their systems, their servers, and in doing so, they return much, much warmer water to Seneca Lake. And again, if they want to expand it, there's going to be even more of that warm water, which is one of the key factors in the harmful algae blooms that are happening on all 11 Finger Lakes. But we need to work hard to protect that from increasing and try to reduce the amount of these HABs, harmful bacteria that are show up during the summer, during the warmest months of the summer, and affects swimming, recreation. These kinds of things can kill dogs in particular, who go in the water where these blooms happen on the surface of the water. So, and just to sort of give you the other side of the coin, so to speak, Ford Cellars, which is located right across Seneca Lake from this greenage facility, a little south of it, on the east side of the lake, and the greenage facility is kind of opposite Sampson State Park and Ovid, so the Willard Psychiatric Center, that's sort of the point where you look across the lake at the Greenidge Generation Facility. Sampson State Park is a huge park and a beautiful state park. So when you're in areas of Sampson, you looking out, you can see these three massive chimneys at Greenidge Facility. They must be 300 feet tall, something like that. Very, very tall brick chimneys from the is a fairly old power plant. And Forge Cellars just had several kind of cool announcements. They posted this to Facebook just a couple days ago, and I'll just read it, and then we'll sort of cover several aspects of it. But if you haven't heard of Forge Sellers, we'll get into some of the details in a few moments. But they are a collaboration with Rick Rainey and Louis Barol, Justin Boyette. Rick and Justin are based here in the Finger Lakes, and Louis Barol from France, and they created this collaboration to make Riesling. And they have scored over 90 points, usually 91, 92, 93 points in Wine Spectator every single vintage they've made, starting in 2011. And I don't think there aren't many, if any, other wineries that have scored 90 points for every single vintage of their signature wine, Riesling, for Forge Sellers. The post says that Forge Sellers, located on Seneca Lake in the Finger Lakes region of upstate New York, specializes in bone dry Riesling as well as cool climate Pinot Noir and Cabernet Franc. We are looking for a jack of all trades to fulfill a unique, demanding, and multifaceted position that involves all elements of a small premium handcrafted winery, including guest interactions and tastings, production duties, including blending, bottling, harvest and winemaking, as well as wholesale and direct-to-consumer sales. The core of this position focuses on hospitality-driven salon and summer house duties. They describe these just below. This is a full-time position with employment 9 months of the year, March through December, and the possibility to extend employment through off-season months, and provides full benefits, competitive wages. So you can check out ForgeSellers.com. And I forwarded this post on from Facebook, reposted it with the note that this was a cool job. And that is a colossal understatement. Partly because of the people that you're working with there, some great people, and Louis Barol is one of the best winemakers in the world. Just amazing wines from Gigandas. It says, if interested, please send email, cover letter, and resume to info@ForgeSellers.com. Describing this, the summer house at Forge Sellers, they say it's a dedicated tasting space that we often refer to as the classroom. All tastings are hosted by reservation and limited to 4 per day, with a small number of seats available in each reservation. Summer house staff will be responsible for managing reservations. Self-serve flights are decided on by staff prepared in advance of guest arrival. Summer house staff members are exceptionally trained on the history and geology of the region, the partnership and philosophy of Forge, the collection of vineyard sites we work with, and all other details pertaining to the wines produced. Duties include greeting clients, presenting the wines, guiding an in-depth tasting experience, and answering client questions. The summer house is also a retail hub at Forge Sellers, is open to customers daily for wine purchases. This is on 414. It's just off of 414. Most of the wineries are on the main routes along the lakes. Forge Sellers is just off of that route, just off of 414, down, not far from Red Newt and Chateau Lafayette Renault and Atwater and Damiani on the east side of Seneca Lake. They also describe the salon, which that begins this year. In 2021, Forge Sellers will unveil the salon, welcoming guests to experience an exhibition of living art via the wines of Forge Sellers and sister estates Chateau Saint-Côme and Chateau de Rouen that are managed by Forge Sellers partner Louis Barol. The salon is a natural, casual extension of our summer house, a place where guests can expect a high-level service in a relaxed atmosphere. It's located within the winery press room and the open-air press pad. Wines will be offered by the glass, bottle, and flight, alongside a small offering of artisanal self-serve foods. Salon staff will share information about the catalog of wines, serve guests tableside, and be available for any customer questions or requests. Reservations will be recommended for guests of the salon and managed by lead Summerhouse salon staff member. So again, this is all relates to the job they're looking to fill at Forge Cellars, which it's going to be, I got to contact Rick Rainey and find out more in general about the people that apply for this, because the Finger Lakes is on the world wine map. People are pretty aware of it now. It is a world-class wine region. It's no longer an interesting wine region in the east like it was 30 years ago. Now it is a bona fide world-class wine region, and you have an opportunity to work at this winery that is on the cutting edge of what's happening in the region with international collaboration, some amazing wines. It's going to be fascinating to see which Chateau Saint-Côme wines they bring. You can find them locally, but they'll be in the Chateau Saint-Côme. Most of their wines are in the fine wine room at, say, Market View Liquor. So, you know, these are $100, $200 bottles of wine. And the you really, for someone in anywhere in the world, a young person looking to build their career, this would be an amazing opportunity in a wine region that is just beginning to realize its potential, just beginning to, in my opinion. And then you have just down the road, Paul Hobbs, who's been planting and growing grapes now for several years, has produced enough Riesling now to have a release at some point here in 2021, his first commercial release of his Riesling will happen at some point this year. And he is another one of the best winemakers in the world, both high scores, very high scores in California for his Paul Hobbs Winery, and also in Argentina for his Vino Cabos Malbec concentrated winery. And I've talked about him before. You can look him up and read more about him. It's some fascinating connections to our region. As I mentioned yesterday, his parents went to Cornell many years ago, and his daughter went to Cornell. So their grandchild went to Cornell and just graduated about four or five years ago. That winery is right at the basically at the junction of 79 and 414. That's the east side of Seneca Lake. 79 is the route over to Ithaca. Let's say maybe 25 minutes over to Ithaca from Watkins Glen. So again, these are happening on Seneca Lake. And this is the future of Seneca Lake. There'll be a lot more international investment. It's inevitable given the scores that are being awarded to many wineries on Seneca Lake. The investments have already been made by Louis Barol and Paul Hobbs, and the price of land, which is really, really inexpensive in the world of wine. The cost of land is exponentially cheaper than other parts of the country, like California, Oregon, and Washington, per acre costs for vineyards are in the hundreds of thousands of dollars in California, maybe closer to 100,000 in Oregon, Washington, and it's like $12,000 an acre in the Finger Lakes. I mean, the difference is just, it's exponential. And if you want to buy 10 acres and, you want to do that where it's $100,000 an acre, there's $1 million. When you come to the Finger Lakes, you buy 10 acres, it's $120,000. That's what exponential difference means. You can buy 10 acres and it's $120,000 versus $1 million. And that's a crazy difference. When you can make 90 point wines, potentially, it's being done on a regular basis in the Finger Lakes. And, if you can make high scoring wines, and be part of an exciting, relatively new world-class wine region, what a bargain in terms of land. So that's the future that seems obvious to me, and the reason that we continue to fight these industrial battles, and they seem to be mainly on Seneca Lake, although there's a big salt mine on Cayuga Lake down by Ithaca that a lot of people are worried about. Roof collapses and things within that mine, and the lack of transparency from Cargill, the company that owns that mine. They just shut down a salt mine, I think in Louisiana, after some roof collapses within that mine, and that's made people even more worried about what is a very old mine in Ithaca. So these battles over the future of the region, I'm sure will continue. There'll be some other really just crazy ideas that come up. That trash incinerator was one of the really nuttiest things. They were going to put this trash incinerator like 3,000 feet upwind of an elementary school in Romulus. I mean, like 3,000 feet, maybe even less than that. The shadow of their incinerator chimney would have hit the school, and that would have been long before sunset. It's crazy that they were thinking of doing that just to burn New York City trash. So we need to keep organizing. We need to keep working with groups like Seneca Lake Guardian to preserve the fresh water, which just in the last couple of years we've begun to realize even more how precious that fresh water is. And as we look around the world and around our country at the problems with fresh water and drinking water, we can't take it for granted that we have these great sources of water. We need to protect them. So if you want details, Seneca Lake Guardian is a wonderful organization to be part of. Yvonne and Joseph, Joseph Campbell, Yvonne Taylor, who founded initially Gas Free Seneca, after going to a meeting, just a public meeting, where this gas storage expansion was being proposed, and I think they thought it would go through pretty easily. That's really where it all began, and they have been so dedicated to this. And I saw a post from Yvonne recently that she's looking forward to maybe doing something in the wine industry in 6 years when she retires from teaching. She's working full time and still spending an astounding amount of time on this work of protecting Seneca Lake. So some great people, and they've learned a lot. Joseph And Yvonne, I've learned a lot over these years of organizing groups and engaging organizations like Earth Justice to help fight the gas storage expansion that was proposed. And you know, that was a billion-dollar Texas company and a very new, completely underfunded, fairly inexperienced. I mean, really, they learned on the fly. Small group of people, and they turned back a billion-dollar Texas company that was intent on expanding gas storage here to create the natural gas storage hub of the Northeast, basically in Watkins Glen, just, you know, I don't know, a mile north, 2 miles north of Watkins Glen. So the people at Greenidge should not underestimate the tenacity, the persistence, the creativity of the organizations that want to limit and avoid expansion of this Bitcoin mining operation. So there's great news in the Finger Lakes, even during a pandemic, for what's happening in the wine industry. And as the pandemic ends, this industry is really going to blossom in the region even more than it is now. Expansions of industrial operations or new ones keep popping up. It's just it's amazing how regular that is. I distinctly remember being. I actually went to broadcast my radio shows from Paul Hobbs' property when he was announcing that he was starting a winery in the Finger Lakes. It was the first public announcement of that in 2013, early 2014, and got a just after the broadcast, really minutes after it. I was still there. I was still at the winery. Well, not the winery. It was just a house. They hadn't planted any grapes. They had just purchased the property and were starting their plans. Again, minutes after the broadcast, I got a call from Yvonne and Joseph, who had been listening to the broadcast and who live relatively close to the winery. They live on the east side of Seneca Lake, calling us to tell me that there was this gas storage expansion in the works. And I said, you know, well, that can't be. That would be insane. And yet that's what was happening. And that's they had already started organizing to fight that and had been fighting it for a couple of years at that point. I I'd seed some signs for no LPG storage, things like that. But I kind of dismissed them that, well, this couldn't happen. And yet it came very, very close to happening. So it's been a crazy ride of great news and then very disturbing news about these industrial operations in the Finger Lakes. So again, can't say enough about Seneca Lake Guardian. I think when the history of the Finger Lakes is written, looking back, 50 years from now, it will be a critical turning point in the region. All of these things could have happened. We could have had a big trash incinerator in Romulus, expanded landfill in Seneca Falls, which is still possible, by the way. They want to keep it open. This massive Bitcoin operation, the salt mines, the gas storage, the trains, the trucks with carrying the gas, the pipelines. I mean, all of this could have happened. And again, a very crucial turning point for the future of the region. If you have comments, questions, you can email me, michael@saverlife.com. And if you want contact information or more details about something, again, please send me an email, michael@saverlife.com. We'll be back next Saturday with gardening, restaurants, discover the Finger Lakes here, and enjoy the sunny weather. A beautiful day is warming up to 32. It'll feel balmy by midday. Have a great day. Michael Warren Thomas here at saverlife.com.